This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last Sunday, I asked you this question. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? We learned from Scripture that we must be ready to meet the Lord either at the moment of our own death or at the time of Christ's second coming on the final day. And we don't know when either one will take place. Well, the bad news is that we can't do anything to prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. We can't change our hearts and stop being sinners, nor can we hide our sins from God. And especially, we can't make up for our sins by doing a few good deeds and then hoping that God will be impressed enough for Him to love us and forgive us. However, the good news is that God Himself prepares people to meet Him. At the end of last Sunday's gospel reading, we heard these words about John the Baptist. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There we have it. God makes people who are prepared to meet him. And God does this by sending people to preach his word of repentance and forgiveness. In fact, that was the message that John the Baptist was sent by God to proclaim. As we heard in today's gospel reading, John went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And that's how John prepared people to meet the Lord. Now, what do we learn from this? Simply put, those who confess their sins and trust in Jesus for salvation are prepared to meet the Lord at their death and also on the final day. But in contrast, those who cling to their sin and fail to trust in Jesus as their Savior must face God's eternal wrath. As we heard John say in today's gospel reading, "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So that leads to a question. Are you wheat or are you chaff? In other words, are you a repentant believer or are you an unrepentant unbeliever? You see, some who came out to hear John assumed that they were good religious people. They believed in God, or so they thought. They tried to live good lives as they defined good. But listen to what John says to them. He says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Now, why is John speaking so harshly to these people? Because he loves them. He wants them to be saved. He knows that some of them don't understand what it means to repent and trust in Jesus. And we also need to hear this warning, because sometimes we are tempted to replace true repentance with our own false repentance. You see, John is rebuking a half-hearted repentance that turns from some sins but holds on to others. However, God doesn't want only some of our sins. He wants them all. And if we hang on to even one sin as though we have a right to that sin, if we refuse to repent of that one sin and give it to Jesus, then that one sin can damn us for all eternity. For example, in our Old Testament reading, we heard the prophet Malachi rebuke God's people for sins that they refused to give up. What were some of those sins? Habakkuk writes, "So I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty." You see, Malachi wasn't saying that these sins couldn't be forgiven. He was saying that as long as the people did not fear God, as long as they thought they had a right to those sins and refused to repent and trust in God for forgiveness and the strength to change, as long as they hung on to those sins, they had no hope. These people would not repent of these sins. They would not seek God's mercy because they intended to keep on doing them. They didn't think God had a right to judge them for such sins. Oh, they still attended worship. They even gave offerings. But they thought that God should be happy with that and then leave them alone. But my friends, this is the spirit of unbelief, not repentant faith. Now, if you didn't hear Malachi mention a particular sin in your life, don't think that you're off the hook. Malachi's point is that every sin exposed in our lives by God's word needs to be acknowledged. And that's why the Holy Spirit moved King David to write these words in Psalm 19. Listen closely. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. By them your servant is warned. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression." Did you hear that? David says that God's word gives life to sinful souls by exposing our sin and then pointing us to God's mercy in Christ. But did you notice that David also confessed the sins he didn't know about? It was that, like David was praying with these words, "God, there are many sins in my life I don't even know about yet. Forgive me for these too and deliver me from them." However, David then asks God to rescue him from willful sins. The sins that David knows about all too well because God's word has exposed them in his life. It's like David is saying, "God, when your word does convict me of particular sins, please help me to repent of them and give them to you so that I can be forgiven and live a new life." Then David goes on to write, "Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression." What does that mean? Simply put, the only way a sinner can be blameless before the Lord is to repent and trust in Christ. But if we willingly intend to keep on doing certain sins and then think that God will ignore our rebellious behavior or overlook our sin because we do a few good deeds, well then, we're deceiving ourselves. That leads to a question which also happens to be today's sermon title. What should we do? That's the question people asked John after he told them to bear fruit in keeping with true repentance. John was trying to teach them that those who truly repent and believe will also strive to turn from their sin and live according to God's will. For example, God used John to give some of the people in the crowds some basic advice on how they could apply their true repentance to their everyday lives. John tells some of them who were greedy and selfish to think of others and to help those in need. John told the tax collectors to stop stealing and to do their job with honesty and integrity. John told the soldiers who were oppressing people and getting paid extra for it, he told them to stop and to be content with their wages. about us? What should we do? First, God wants you to repent of any and every sin that His Word exposes in your life. You see, you cannot be a Christian, but then keep a few favorite sins that you intend to hold outside of Jesus' mercy because you want to keep on doing them. What are some examples of particular sins God's Word exposes in our lives? Well, maybe you've been taking the Lord's name in vain. Maybe you gossip about people. Maybe you're holding a hateful grudge against a fellow member of your congregation and you refuse to reconcile with that person. Maybe you've cheated somebody in a business deal. Maybe you've been looking at pornography on the internet. Maybe you're a child who's been disobeying your parents and treating them with disrespect. Maybe you've been getting drunk in the local bars. Maybe you've been avoiding church services and Bible class and personal devotions for no good reason. Maybe you're mistreating your wife or husband. Maybe you're being greedy and selfish and spending all your income on yourself instead of giving some to church and charity. Maybe you're making fun of the unpopular kid at school. Maybe you're telling lies to cover up mistakes that you've made. As you know, I could go on and on and on. The fact is, you know what your sins are, and I know what my sins are. On top of that, we have many other sins we might not even know about yet. But that's why the Holy Spirit wants us to pray like King David. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Now please understand something. God is not teaching us today that we must live perfect sinless lives or face His wrath. If that were the case, then we'd all be going to hell and I'd be the first one in line. Instead, God is teaching us that we should not play games with Him. We should not come to church and pay lip service to Him and then leave and live the way we want to live. Instead, God wants us to repent of all our sins and then know that we are completely forgiven because of Jesus' death on the cross, where He suffered God's wrath for all our sins, even the many sins we don't even know about yet. Then, as God's forgiven people, we must be prepared to change the way we live as Jesus' love moves us to turn away from particular sins and conform our behavior to God's will for our lives. Simply put, the fruit of true repentance is a life of love. A life of love lived in conformity to God's will. The fruit of true repentance is the desire to turn from sin and live for God. A desire that flows from the forgiveness that we already have in Jesus. Paul addresses this new life in our epistle reading when he says, God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. My friends, as we heard in the children's sermon, God began a good work in you when He baptized you. When He gave you His baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And every day you live, God brings you back to the waters of your baptism, where your sinful nature is drowned, so that you can arise as a new creation before God and pray to Him, Father, what should I do? My fellow Christians, God has used His Word today to give you a heart of true repentance. A heart that will bear fruit in your life to the glory of God. You can leave today knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you are prepared to meet the Lord because God Himself has prepared you. He has prepared you to meet the Lord, whether it be at your death or on the final day. But until you meet the Lord face to face, His love and mercy will move you to pray every day, "Father, what should I do?" God will then use His Word to teach you His will for your life so that you may do all that you do to His glory. And finally, please remember these wonderful, wonderful words from the Apostle Paul. "God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.